This is a replay of the Tuesday night, September 1st, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, as long as it has no substance whatsoever, it'll be on mine as well. So 888-876-5593. 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. That will do it to it. And talk about no substance. So it's a list of most popular sandwiches by state. But if you read the fine line, this wasn't a poll. This is something that was put together based on web searches. Now, right there, I would say there's a problem with this. But, by the way, Illinois came out just fine. But the bottom line is that, as far as I know, if it's your favorite sandwich, you probably don't have to search for it. So this would knock it out entirely. But nonetheless, be as it may, I was looking at this list and comparing it to Delish's most iconic sandwich by state, most of which I challenge you to eat, is what it comes down to. But Illinois, interestingly, one of the few states where it is the same sandwich on both lists, most popular and most iconic. Illinois, you won't be surprised, goes for the Italian beef sandwich. Yes, yes. Now, there's a couple states, as I was saying during the news there, that caused me to wonder. Yeah, only 9-year-olds would consider ice cream sandwiches on the list, but apparently so did people in Rhode Island and Delaware. Yeah. Sorry, guys, I don't think that counts. So there are some that, wound up not cracking the number one position on the list, but stood out in rankings. Kentucky and Tennessee did a lot of searches for bologna sandwiches. Georgia and Texas went for brisket. And yes, Delaware and Rhode Island, that ever popular ice cream sandwich. Now, interestingly, the Monte Crisco in Alaska and Utah. Okay, but shall we talk about Hawaii for a moment? The Spam sandwich? So, why am I not surprised? So, of course, this causes me to say, well, let's see what Delish thought as far as the most iconic. And fortunately, they didn't bring up Spam, though I guarantee you it is the most popular. And Hawaiians, as far as that goes, the Kalua pork sandwich, respectable, certainly better than the Spam. So, just a lot of fun. If you're wondering about any particular state, I'll be happy to tell you. But as I say, on that most iconic list, I've had that for a while and didn't think I'd bring it up because, for instance, Georgia, the pimento cheese sandwich? No, a blend of mayonnaise, cheese, and pimentos. Oh, yum. Or not. Now, on the other hand, as far as Georgia searches, brisket. Now we're talking. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. As I said, no substance whatsoever. That's what we're here for, to ignore all the problems of the world for 3 hours and just generally have a good time. And I'll play your requests as well. Got several, many from last night as well, but we've got several and we'll get to, 11 of them tonight. All right. So what do we have? Mike in Elmwood Park is going to add to the request list. All right, Mike, what do you want to hear?
Saturday night at the movie.
Oh.
The Drifters.
Okay.
Only in America by Jane and Americans. You know, that song, somebody said that the Drifters turned it down, and the Jane Americans recorded it, but they said that they used the Drifters soundtrack.
Yeah, well, there's another subtext to this story, and that's the lyrics weren't exactly the way you hear it on the record. In fact, Atlantic went crazy when they heard the lyrics and said, "You cannot put that out on a song. You just cannot do that." And it would basically put down America. And so did it ever. I'm trying to think. I'm sure the original lyrics are online because it's not a big secret anymore. But I'm trying to think of some of the worst ones. But it'll come to me.
Yeah, I have one more for you, and that's the Night Has a Thousand Eyes by Bobby V.
Oh, I love that song, actually, because Snuff Garrett produced it, which is just a wonderful yes. thing. But yeah, the original lyrics, only in America, land of opportunity, can they save a seat in the back of the bus for me? Yeah, it was like that. And so,
really?
yes, that's what I'm saying. And both Jerry Wexler and Ahmet Erdogan both said, no. So it was a Barry Mann. Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil, and all that. And so there are a number of other things in it. So they really? Redid it. And
they really cleaned it up.
Yeah, they absolutely cleaned it up. And, it was interesting because that was a time where a lot of the Brill Building, if you will, or certainly the people who worked for Donny Kirshner, were starting to think more in terms of perhaps lyrics that had a little more to do with what was going on. Well, the bottom line is, no, that's not what sells. So, Uptown was sort of like that. And, not too bad. And of course, On Broadway is wonderful. But yeah, Only in America, where they preach the golden rule and they start to march when my kids go to school.
No, they actually, there's one, well, yeah, the way they clean it up is Land of Opportunity.
Yeah. Well, they had Land of Opportunity, and then they followed it with where they'll save a seat in the back of the bus for me. So, yeah. And that was Cynthia Weil. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You're my evening. I mean, when you come on, I listen to you all the way to the end.
Oh, that's so nice of you. All right, so I'm writing this down so I don't lose it, because otherwise I will. Saturday Night at the Movies and Only in America for Mike in Elmwood Park. All right, we'll do it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, so no, you won't find a recorded version of the original lyrics. Oh, man, I can only imagine what they were thinking when they heard that. Yeah, this goes back to one of my favorite Snuff Garrett lines. You realize we're a for-profit company, don't you? All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Oh, yeah, and The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. I won't forget that, because that is, I thought Snuff Garrett was a god as far as a rock and roll producer, you know, all that little Pablum Top 40 stuff. He cleaned up Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Who else could have done that? But The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. Now, of course, the original 45 mix, that's the only one that counts. A wonderful song. All right, so we'll get to Chris in South Carolina, James on the South Side, Dave in Chicago, and hopefully you coming up on WGN Radio.
They say that you're a runaround lover. Oh, you say it isn't so. But if you put me down for another, a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes. thousand eyes. One of these days you're gonna be sorry, 'cause your game I'm gonna play. And you find out without really trying, each time that my keys astray, 'cause the night...
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. When that came out in 1963, I thought, this is the perfect top 40 record. And that, by the way, is Earl Palmer on drums and Tommy Alsop on guitar, and of course Snuff Garrett producing it. So yes, a fine, fine song. So happy to play that, and glad it was requested. So we'll get the rest of them as well. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Let's see what we've got here. Dave in Chicago, what's on your mind?
Raleigh, your lead in this morning, or this evening, gosh, about sandwiches had me wondering, what do you think about the Chicago dog being a sandwich? In your book, sandwich or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I would include hot dogs as sandwiches, you betcha. And it's a wonderful
one. And a hamburger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's between a couple pieces of bread or a bun of some sort. So, yeah, I'd go with they're all sandwiches, or like tonight I had a cheesesteak, things like that. That's a sandwich.
Good enough for me. Thanks, Raleigh. Have a great night.
Now, by the way, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. As long as you can hold it, yeah, sandwich for me.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
So, and yeah, Chicago dogs, does it really get better? All right. Remember the first time I had one, actually, I've been working all night. There's a lot, decades ago. And it got off. It was the only thing I could find at, like, you know, 7 in the morning. And I figured, why not, you know, and had one. And with, of course, the requisite Coca-Cola. Just fell in love instantly. Wonderful stuff. All right. 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, it's been one of those days, so I'm happy to relax and talk to you.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I had to do some errands today. I usually don't like to go out for any reason, but I did. And I'm not sure why, but it was just frantic. Everybody was out doing something. It took forever to get anything done. I waited almost an hour in the post office, almost 45 minutes just to get some sliced turkey. And not at the post office, obviously. That was another instance. And it just, you know, what should have been a 20-minute errand took 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I don't know what was wrong with today, but I concur.
Yeah, and I'm ready to throw my computer out the window. And
a bad idea. You might try heaving it against a wall. But
yeah, I think that would be better. At least I wouldn't hurt anybody except my walls. But
you're right. So, okay, firstly, what operating system are you muddling through?
Windows 11.
Oh, God. Well, forget about it.
One thing I don't understand why this is, I cannot go to your website on my computer. I can on my phone.
Oh,
but I
well,
can't do it on my computer.
All right. I'm nothing if not lazy. And here it is. What your settings are blocking you, because it's not an HTTPS site. It's HTTP, and so that's not secure enough for some settings. So that's why you can change your security settings pretty easily. Yeah, I feel bad because one of our listeners, actually Julie in Atlanta, wrote to me and said the library won't let me listen to you anymore because your site is not secure. And I'm just laughing, saying yeah, because I didn't put an S after the P. It's as secure as anything else. Trust me. But eventually, I'll recode it.
Yeah, I've got to do that. Well, my settings are all messed up anyway. And
then
the music player I have, I was trying to get Winamp, and it won't let me download it. And the music player I have, there are no JAWS scripts for that I can find.
Again,
it's VLC media player, and there's no JAWS scripts that I can find. And not only that, when I play it, JAWS doesn't work.
Yeah. Again, your problem is your security settings. That's why you're not downloading Winamp. So,
Yeah, so that's probably why I can't get the updates of Jaws either.
Yeah, correct.
I've got a couple of updates.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Windows 11 wants to be hyper secure, and in the process, thank God you're not trying to code anything, because I'll tell you what, with networking, that's what drove me crazy. If you create a network path and then remove it, it's still stuck in like 11 different places. Windows 11, thank you very much. That's how they got the number, I'm sure. But in any event, if you don't find a way to clear it, and, you know, you would say, well, that's just a simple command. Just, you know, asterisk delete. Yes. No, absolutely not. Not good enough. And so on and on it is. So, but it affects the user as well. And worse yet, when they do those updates, like, it's been a few months now, but I went to look at the screener program so I could see, you know, who was on the phone. And suddenly, I couldn't get the screener program. Sure enough, they did an update that locked me out of my own screener program. So you kind of always have to take a look after the updates. The first thing I do is go to network. Am I still a private network? You know, and on and on. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
The good news is, if you can bump into anybody who has even a modicum of knowledge on this, they can walk you through undoing those security settings, and you'll get everything.
Well, I think what I'm going to do, they do have a Microsoft support line for people who use screen readers and stuff like that. Now, I don't know. I might get somebody from who knows where. I might get help. I might... my friend says some of them are very good, patient, and, you know, some of them you can't understand what they're saying. They think they're speaking English, as you said.
Yeah, and you're right, and you know they're not. All right, the biggest problem isn't even that, though, of course, whenever that happens, you hang up the phone and dial back, obviously. But the problem is, I'm not 100% sure if they're muzzled. Because it's Microsoft support, are they able to tell you how to undo the security settings? You see,
I have no idea.
I'm
lucky I can use it.
Right. Well, you're not alone. As far as that goes. In fact, when I first set up the networking scheme, which I really liked, unfortunately, I didn't realize that my morning man was not going to be able to ever do this. And so after a few days of calls at 5 a.m., I can't get this, I better find another way. And that's when I devolved into true hell trying to undo everything to redo it so it would be easy for him. But finally, he's not growling, so I think it's working.
I'm not sure how to mess with settings and stuff. I mean, only the very minimal types of things.
Yeah, those settings are fairly easy. Unfortunately, they may or may not cure the problem. And it's really weird because on the one hand, Microsoft does away with Control Panel. On the other hand, they still use it for some apps. So even that, I'm thinking of, this is not a Windows machine. I was going to try to walk you through some things. But if I have time, God knows, I'll send you an email with a couple quick things.
Okay. And I just love Bobby V, so thank you, whoever. I love that Night Has a Thousand Eyes.
Yeah.
So, but I was trying to think of a song. It was a Bobby V song, and it was the flip of something. And I was trying to figure out what it was the flip of and what the name of it was. He said something about, I punched my buddy in the nose after lunch. Now I'm in trouble because the dean saw the punch.
Yeah, absolutely. See, I thought you were going to do the flip of The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. That's an anonymous phone call.
Oh, really?
You've never...
I didn't have that 45.
Yeah. I got an anonymous phone call last night. Yeah, I'll try to play that, too. I'm sure I have the box, because I've got all the 45s, obviously. I'll find it. And John says, shut up, the news is on. All right, I'll talk to you later. I'll look for it. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. All right.
Okay, bye.
Right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
I punched my buddy in the nose after lunch. Now I'm in trouble, because the dean saw the punch. Cafeteria. Now I'm staying in.
just knew what that son of a gun said. I know she wouldn't be caught with him dead. She don't know what he has got up his sleeve, but she would find out if I could only leave. But I'm staying in, staying in, while my baby's walking home.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So that's what Fran remembers. Actually, it was an A-side, Staying In, and John D. Loudermilk wrote it. And I loved the stuff that he did, obviously. And what a great sense of humor, Ebony Eyes for the Everly Brothers. But Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye for the Casinos, all that wonderful Sue Thompson stuff, and on it goes. But so he wrote it, and that was Snuff Garrett producing Staying In. And yes, I'll get to Anonymous Phone Call also, which was the flip of the night, As a Thousand Eyes. And the interesting thing about that, it was an early Bacharach David song, backed with the Johnny Mansingers and Ernie Freeman arranging it. So how bad could it be? You'll hear for yourself. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. I'll try to dig up the Drifters' Only in America, the cleaned up version. Yeah, Lieber and Stoller kind of cleaned it up, much to Cynthia Wheel's dissatisfaction, but there was no way her lyrics were going to make it. All right, so let's Shane is driving. Oh, we're going to talk about food. Yes, indeed. So, Shane, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you? All right. You guys are going to make me hungry tonight.
Oh, gosh.
I agree with the Italian beef from Portillo's with the hot jardiniere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good sandwich.
Yeah.
But you've heard of Island Lake, Illinois?
Yes.
There is a cafe called Island Lake Cafe, and my wife and I go there every Sunday for brunch, and they make the best triple BLT that I've ever had.
Ooh, I bet you that's wonderful. Bet you the nice, thick bacon. Yes.
Yep, the thick tomato, thick bacon, plenty of lettuce, and then they serve it along with those really thick French fries.
Yes, oh yes, absolutely. So that does sound wonderful. So I guess we all have to get to State Road on in Island Lake. Yeah, all right.
Right off of 176 there, yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Sounds like a winner to me.
Me too.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting because I'm looking at the list of every state's favorite or most searched is what it really came down to. And BLT, only one state. South Dakota. Gotta love them. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And Chris in South Carolina. What's up tonight, Chris?
Hello, Raleigh. How's it going?
All right. How about yourself?
And I went to the 85th anniversary of WCRS.
Oh, good.
And it was great.
Good. That was today at the station itself.
Yes. And it came a long way. And, you know, they read this proclamation declaring it WCRS Radio Day.
Yes.
I can read some of it to you.
Well, that's all right. Let me ask you this. How many people showed up?
A bunch of people showed up.
Good. Oh, good. I'm so glad. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
And,
so did you learn anything new, something you absolutely didn't know?
I learned that, you know, when it signed on, President the Roosevelt was the president.
Okay.
Doing a Labor Day message.
Okay.
Oh, I think on the day of the sign-on.
Okay.
And also, a lot of people thanked the Greenwood for having their first radio station, and it was on the Lander College campus, which is now Lander University.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
And also, it provided, like, through years and years of local services, like sports, politics, public interest, and it was always on 1450.
Uh-huh.
And it it did go off the air for like a brief time from 2009 to 2010, and Ann bought the station out from
right.
the Big Fish LLC.
Right, which is nice that somebody cared enough to actually resurrect it, because it easily could have been a goner.
Oh, yes, because during that time when it was off the air, I was a little job searching, and WCRS was the first one that I went to, and the door was locked, and the building was dark.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Thank God it came back on, because if it stayed like that, then we wouldn't have a long-time radio station.
No, of course. And we're seeing, every day we're seeing something else sign off. We talked about KSFO earlier, you know, the 560. And, of course, I think in the last week or so, 840 in Las Vegas gave it up. And they're off the air now, too. God, I remember how exciting it was when the Break of the Clears created that frequency, and now gone forever.
Is that a major radio station in Las Vegas,
well,
840?
It's a great, again, it's a great frequency because it was a clear channel. It was WHAS's clear channel. So obviously they were directional, but it was a really nice signal. Were they ever a very big player? You know, I won't go that far. But of course, remember, 720 is off the air as well there. And, you know, that was, of course, created out of WGN's frequency. And so it's a loss.
Yeah, because, you know, the radio stations around here, like WAIM went off.
Yes.
WLBG went off.
Well,
but WCRS is still standing.
Which is great, and that's because of the ownership, that they really want to serve locally and have local people and sell locally. And God love them. I think that's just terrific that they're doing that. I'm glad you got to go today. It sounded like a fun thing.
Oh, yes, and I could tell you, because, you know, WCRS was one of their first 24-hour AM stations, because a lot of AMs went off from sun up to sundown.
Well, especially, especially in smaller markets where they weren't getting the allocations, that there were a lot of daytimers run down at sundown, and also a lot of stations that were 24 hours, but they were so directional at night, they may as well not have been.
Yeah, and CRS was on 24 hours a day because of the war and World II coverage.
Yep, that's great. Well, good.
And you know, their tower they used to have, like on the Lander campus, it was used for the airport, the Greenwood County Airport, as an instrument landing system.
Yeah.
From the Donaldson Center to the Cornaco Army Airfield, which is the Greenwood County Airport nowadays, where airplanes like land a descent to lower altitude, and that tower used a lot of effort for letting those planes land at the airport.
Now, is the tower in the same location today?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Isn't the one that they talked about where Lander is? It's been long gone.
Okay, so, but, you know, it's nice when you're on a frequency where you can be non-directional, because then you're only dealing with one tower, and you only need enough land for your ground system, as opposed to directional stations that sometimes need a lot of land, and that very often is their demise. So, good. I wish them what is it, 80 years?
Or 85 years.
Okay, another 85 years.
Yeah. And they have one of the Gates AM transmitters too. That
sure.
And they got fixed.
Yep. Hey, my backup is still a Gates on my AM. They're workhorses, and they also.
Yeah, but they got like four satellite dishes in the back, and one of them is not hooked up.
Well, all right. So satellite delivered programming. Well, why not? Although more and more that's happening online more than even by satellite. It's easier to pick it up that way.
Yeah, but they still got that long tower. And how much this WCRS tower is, it's very tall. And if you're on the other side of Greenwood, you can still see it.
Is it half wave? Do you know what the specs are on it?
I think their tower is one of the tallest towers.
Okay.
I'm looking it up right now.
Now,
the tower, the rain.
Okay. So they're non-directional. They're 1,000 watts day and night, I know, on that frequency, absolutely. They've got the FM. Now, the FM's not hanging off the AM tower, is it? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's on the 7
but I think,
AM, so
I think
like
that
FM.
Yeah, I'm not sure how tall that is. I mean, it's not among the quote unquote tallest, but I'm not sure. I didn't even think it was half wave, but I'll try to look it up.
Yeah, well, I'm just seeing it is like a 1/600 feet.
Well, not
exactly.
All right.
Well, we'll have to look it
all
up.
All right,
please.
Good deal. All right, well, I'm glad you went, and thanks for telling me, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll
okay,
talk
thanks.
To you
appreciate
soon,
it.
Then.
All right, good deal.
Take care.
So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and yeah, nothing like you know, terrestrial radio. God, I love it. But there are times when you know, you're not necessarily going to be picking anything up as far as that goes, depending on where you are, or maybe there's something you really want to hear that's just not available to you locally. That's where the internet is your best friend, because almost everything streams, and the most wonderful thing about that. Well, I say that, but thank God they didn't have this when I was in school. Man, I never would have left the bedroom. You're talking about literally thousands and thousands and thousands of radio stations around the world. Now, the trick is, are any of them broadcasting anything you want to hear? I mean, other than this one, of course. Well, the bottom line is you need a Wi-Fi radio. They are just terrific. And some of them are complex, and some of them are, you know, kind of a hassle and all that. Well, I'll tell you what. The C-Crane CC Wi-Fi 3 is just a marvel. It is just wonderful. Obviously, no apps to download, no monthly fees, no ads on the screen, no microphones listening in, nothing like that. Man, and you can listen to literally thousands and tens of thousands of radio stations crystal clear pretty much anytime you want. You know, I always talk about Bob Crane building the best radios in terms of reception, and the Wi-Fi radio is no exception. Of course, we're not talking AM/FM reception here, but if you've got a wireless access point at home or a Wi-Fi router, you know that some things connect better than others, and maybe some things, a lot of buffering and all that. Well, the beauty of the CC Wi-Fi 3 is it is going to connect to even the most lackluster wireless access point. So even if your router is not necessarily off to snuff, this will do it. Now, right now, they've got a $10 off deal, which is really nice. And it is just a wonderful... Oh, the other thing, it's so easy to use. I plunked one down in front of John, who's screening your calls, and you know, I'll tell you what, he had no idea, and literally within 5 minutes he was listening to WGN. So it's that easy. It's truly intuitive. But of course, I've got the world's best customer service. So if you have any questions, or if you want to order by phone, now if you're going to do that, obviously, and you don't have a wireless access point, chances are good you're doing this for somebody else, and it does make the perfect gift. Their phone number's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, do it. Look at that CC Wi-Fi 3 at ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you. Get $10 off right now from WGN Radio.
An anonymous phone call from someone last night, and a voice soft and low said, listen here, friend, your girl's going out with some other guy. And I think you should know, your girl is untrue. Know, there's somebody new, and below your life, she's making a fool of you. I hung up the phone and I went to my room, and I cried all through the night, and I said to myself, if I lost your love, my life would just end. So I'm begging you, please say it's a lie from some envious guy, and the only
Tommy James. So it was appropriately a flip side. But yeah, early David Bacharach, as far as that goes. And like I said, everybody was in on that, from Ernie Freeman to the Johnny Mansingers and Snuff Garrett and Anonymous Phone Call. It is, because I mentioned that to Fran. She said she'd never heard it. Well, she has now. All right, so 888-876-5593. By the way, next hour, I'm going to be talking with Nick from Baltimore. He sent me an email that I absolutely flat out could not believe. But we'll get there. But right now, we got other stuff like James on the south side and his story. So, all right, James.
How are you?
All right,
thank
how about
you
yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Well, good.
Okay, I had, okay, I sent you the one about the resident survey, a Fry survey.
Okay. Let me look at this.
Of fast food restaurant french fries.
Oh, really? Now, you know, that's interesting. Today, I had just seen a couple articles on fast food hamburgers, and I tended to disagree with the findings. I somehow missed the french fries. Oh, my dear God. Well, I must make... So let's cut to the chase. Who was considered the best?
This was a surprise. I kind of agree they're one of the better ones anyway. That would be Checkers.
Really?
Please check it. Yeah.
Interesting.
McDonald's was number two.
Well, it would be number one if they'd go back to beef tallow. But
They would be.
The other thing that's happening with french fries that I think is just a terrible thing is that many of these places now will like cook them pretty much three quarters of the way through and then just leave them there and then last second drop it when they need to. And, you know, that's easy for salt-free, you know, orders and things like that. But it doesn't taste as good.
No.
So yes. Now I can't believe I don't see your french fries, because I certainly would have. I know years ago Burger King tried to win the french fry war by coating them. I don't know if they still coat them, but that was sort of an interesting taste. But
Burger King, I think, ended up at fifth place or something like that.
All right.
Let's see. Five Guys was six.
Yeah, well,
if I remember,
you got to take a mortgage to go to Five Guys. But
You take one look at your price thing and say, oh, yeah, the blood drains out.
Right, exactly. So, okay, now Delish did an article on french fries. Is that the one you're referring to, the Delish article?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's actually been a little while. And, you know, I love the thin french fries, but the trick to the thin french fries is you have to eat them, like, before you even get back to your seat. Because, man, when they go cold, they turn into weapons. Now,
They do. They become like, oh, okay, let me break this off.
Yeah, really, exactly. And they're so good when they're fresh, but I mean literally fresh. You practically can't walk from the fryer to your seat. Now, I see In-N-Out made it at number 13, and I would agree. I know that they're considered to be all fresh and all that, and don't get me wrong, I like In-N-Out, but I do not care for their french fries. I swear they're made out of cotton. But maybe they don't cook them enough. I don't know. But so Shake Shack coming in at number 12. And then Hardee's and Carl's Jr. That's interesting. Taco Bell now. Now, I don't know anybody who's ever ordered french fries at Taco Bell.
I knew somebody. I tried them once. It's not for me.
Okay.
I think somebody offered, here, have one. I said,
interesting.
Interesting was what I thought of.
So Burger King is number 8, and that is behind Wendy's. Now, I never put Wendy's in my top 10, that's for sure. So,
you know, Wendy's, okay, I don't know what's happened to overall to
yeah,
them, but they just seem like I remember when they seemed to be moving forward. Now they seem to be moving backwards or staying in one place.
It's interesting. They have Chick-fil-A at number 5. And I'll tell you what, if you can get those waffle fries again, right when they come out of the fryer, they're just great. But far too often at Chick-fil-A, you're getting old waffle fries, and it just doesn't taste right.
Oh, I've had them only once, and they were good.
Yeah, if you get them at the right time when they're fresh, they're just delectable. But, man, down the road, oh, I guess we do. We're in commercials. I forgot about that. All right. Hang on. Don't go away. Yeah. All right. We'll pick it up next time. I forgot all about that.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. Only in America can a kid without a cent get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America that an opportunity is. Would a classy girl like you fall for a poor boy like me? Only in America can a kid who's washing cars take a giant step and reach right up and touch the
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So that's how it came out, the watered-down version for The Drifters, who recorded it in 63, but it never saw the light of day. In fact, probably didn't really... Well, it showed up on some albums, I think, Saturday Night at the Club or whatever, but for the most part, it wasn't until much later, CDs and all that, that it got to be well-known. But Wexler nixed it, even with the sanitized lyrics, because, of course, you know, it just didn't make a lot of sense. You know, to his ears, hearing an all-black group sing about a kid without a cent getting a break and being president was still unlikely, to say the least. Now, after Wexler killed the master tape, was interesting because Lieber and Stoller were really, really going to go with this. You know, like I say, they cleaned up the lyrics. They had something going on. They ran into Kenny Vance, who's just terrific, of course. And Kenny at that time was still involved with Jay and the Americans. And Jay and the Americans were kind of at a weird point in time because the original lead singer, Jay Traynor, left the band after, you know, not much happened. They got this new guy, David Black, who took the name Jay Black, but he had to have another Jay for Jay and the Americans. But they didn't have any material. They didn't have any momentum, nothing like that. So what they did, Lieber and Stoller's took the same backing track, erased the Drifters, well, Rudy Lewis, the lead, had Vance and Jay and the Americans sing right over that. And, you know, they had sped up the track just slightly as well. And so by shifting the same exact song into basically a white vocal group, for lack of a better description, it was safe and radio friendly. So that's how the deal happened. And of course, Jay Black stayed for the rest of their run. So, and Kenny Vance ultimately left. But did all sorts of wonderful things. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Now back to James on the South Side. And you know, a while ago, we didn't really have time to discuss how all of the labels came down to being basically three, and music-wise. And we will get to that one night. In fact, I'll make a list. I did this with radio syndicators once, literally hundreds down to like two. But I'll do that with everybody. But because there isn't anything online that includes all of the minors for that goes. But what was interesting, if you look at what was driving this consolidation going back even to the late 60s, is that the labels that could do very well had their own distribution, whether it was their own arm like Columbia, which had 20 branch offices, things like that, or Mercury, which had Merrick, and Merrick did the distributing for them. You could get a simultaneous hit. But of course, if you were an independent, you had a rolling hit very often. So the idea of, hey, we want to control our distribution, that's what led to the WEA deal. And actually, Warner Brothers, Atlantic Electric teamed up, and it was Kinney Services, you know, the parking lots, the mob, all that, who got it in 1971. And then in 86, I think that's when BMG first came around. Bertelsmann buys RCA and Arista, and that was that. And then Sony in 88 buys Columbia and Epic, $2 billion, renaming it Sony Music. And then from there, Universal Music Group buys Polygram, which owned Mercury, Motown, and Island at that point. So at that point, you had, you know, basically five players: Universal, Sony, Warner, BMG, and EMI. Then in 2004, you wound up with four players because Sony and BMG merged. So that was the big four. Then in 2012, EMI collapses. And that was, you know, I mean, let's face it, if you're doing a buyout, a private equity buyout, you wind up with so much debt, I don't have to tell that story. And so regulators split that up to avoid a total monopoly. And so now what you wind up with is Universal, Sony, and Warner. All right. So, and thanks for bringing that up. And sorry we didn't discuss that before.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Oh, I did. Speaking of interesting stories, there was the guy who buried his brides. You remember Operation Silver Shovel? Well, this was a different shovel of a sort. In California.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's a politician, of course. It would have to be, don't you think? Who buried his bribe money in his backyard. Actually, when we say politician, it's not like this guy was mayor of something major like San Diego or whatever. No, this is Ricardo Pacheco, who was on the Baldwin Park City Council, which is San Gabriel Valley of Los Angeles, from 1997 until he resigned about 5-6 years ago. And so apparently, the prosecutors established that he accepted thousands of dollars in bribes, tens of thousands from a lot of sources, $20,000 cash payment in an envelope at a local coffee shop by a Baldwin Park police officer who was working at the direction of the FBI. That was going to be a sting, obviously. He solicited and accepted $70,000 in bribes from a cannabis business operator and a Compton City Council member who wanted Pacheco's votes and all that kind of stuff. So apparently, he's now, by the way, he's 63 years old. He's sentenced to 18 months in federal prison, fined $10,000, and ordered to forfeit, here's the big problem, $219,755 in addition to $83,144 in cash that the FBI already had seized. And so apparently he was ordered to pay $323,557 in restitution. He might as well be in jail. I don't know how he's going to afford to live. And so he's no longer in office.
Yeah, in California, he's going to be broke.
You know, not going to be. He is broke as far as that goes. But it really makes you wonder, firstly, burying it in the backyard. And I don't have full copy on exactly how they discovered that. Do you?
Apparently, okay, I guess somebody may have seen him, but they don't really go into it. And he got the cannabis dealer was a fellow politician.
Right, of Compton. Yes, that's right. I still want to know, how did they know he buried the money?
Yeah, they didn't really go into it.
That's the most interesting part of the story. And so, I want to know about his backyard. Now, from what I understand, they dug up $62,000 in a search. But who thinks when you're going on a search, well, let's dig up the lawn? It just doesn't come up, I don't think.
We won't go into corny lines on that.
Yeah, well, I'd be curious. This man was not thinking. Well, how surprising is that, right? So that's the deal.
Might have been better have sent it to the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. No, there's a story like that unfolding in Arizona right now with the governor and all this. I won't go into it, but it reminded me of this guy. I thought the only thing she didn't do was bury it in her backyard, at least that we know of. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, you know, it's unfortunately as to be expected, sadly. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So we have an article about Marvel that always gets my attention. So tell me about that.
Okay, I think there was a collection, if I remember correctly.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, I'll cut to the chase. Variant covers. And for those who collect comic books and things like that, the idea of the variant covers are interesting and very often collectible. And so apparently in the Marvel Universe, all new Indiana Jones Marvel artifacts are many variant covers. And as far as who drew them, basically the superstars of the comic world, Carmen Canero and Marco Cicchetto and Sarah Pacelli, and a bunch of others who have done a lot of Marvel's legendary work. And so, but there's others as well. So the idea of all the variant covers is what's happening. And supposedly, the first time Indiana Jones have been seen through the Marvel mythos lens. So that'll be artifacts, variant covers, celebrating the new era of Indiana Jones adventures. All right.
Oh, see, I think there was also a lot of Bob Dolly, unfortunately. I shaved you. There was, of course, the person with the biggest Dolly Parton collection.
Oh, that's a whole other story, of course. You would expect that. But yeah, there's a list of what the variants are for people who collect this stuff, and some interesting choices.
Yeah. Oh, I also sent you something about the winner between Culver and Burger King, as far as who had the better.
Yes, I saw that, and I know they picked Culver's over Burger King. But you know, it's interesting. You can talk all about how wonderful the beef is, and that it's never been frozen, and that it's locally sourced, or that it includes steak, or you name it, on and on and on. But to me, all that matters is what tastes better. And, you know, the heck with what's in it. What tastes better? And the deal is the article never actually talked about that.
I think they got around to, like, slightly saying about how, I guess, Culver's was better seasoned or something like that. Well, and they said that while Burger King's was more or less, like, production, there was uniform production.
Right, and industrial, if you will. Yeah, but for the most part, it still didn't get into, you know, what it tastes like when you sat down. And the reality, as I'm sure you well know, is that on any given day, a fast food hamburger can be like shoe leather, or it can just be sublime and everything in the middle. So it really isn't a thing where it's always going to be great if you go to any of these places.
Yeah, now I've had both, and I have to admit, I like both of them. I think that, but I Culver's, and thankfully entry is not as expensive as far as
that. Well,
not nearly in the same ballpark.
But, you know, every time I go to Culver's, I have to have the fish. So I don't wind up having the hamburgers very often anyway.
Oh, I tried the fish one time. Let's just say it didn't impress me.
All right. You go.
But I will probably try them at some point in the future.
Good.
Burger King's fish, I just wish they would stop being like Doctor Who, having to make a different appearance about every few years.
Interestingly, I didn't even know Burger King had fish. Is this a regular menu item?
Yeah, it's on there. Yeah, it says like BK. At one point, they called BK Fish. I think it's called Big Fish or something like that.
All right. Well, you know, I worry about things that are perfectly square, but it's just me. All right.
Actually, I like the McDonald's fish.
Okay. Well, John does too. John does too. I don't, but John does. So you're in his camp on that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, now that you mentioned that Burger King has fish, I got to go try it. So I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
You have a nice evening.
You too. Okay, bye. All right. So plenty of stories and many more yet to come. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. All right. So I started to read Nick's email. He actually sent pictures in it, and the pictures were of the WBAL, what they're trying to hand to people they're laying off. Now, you know, I can't do this justice because I read it twice and I'm not sure I fully understand it. Nick, this to me seems pretty, it seems pretty egregious. So what we have, from what I can tell, and I'm going to go back and read it closely, is they're calling it a confidentiality agreement. What they're basically saying is, we're laying off a bunch of people, and if you want severance, you're going to have to sign our confidentiality agreement. Did I get that right?
Yeah, basically.
What happens if they don't sign it? Yep. Do they not get severance?
I guess. I mean, because that came from Channel 45.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
the reporter at 45, they did a piece on that, and that's from his Facebook page, but the article is from, the trade.
Yeah. Right? Well, the article, yeah, but we have Schedule A here, and this is still Hearst, is implementing a reduction in force that will result in job eliminations affecting the employees of BAL and IYY in exchange for signing a confidential separation and general release of claims agreement, the confidential agreement, and not rescinding your consent as specified herein. Employees whose employment will be terminated pursuant to this reduction in force and who have met the eligibility factors set forth below will receive from Hearst severance pay subject to applicable withholdings and deductions and other benefits. Well, so still the first thing I say, wait a minute. So people who aren't willing to sign their life away don't get any severance?
Yeah. And that's an after a station, too.
No, well, and they'll have something to say about it. Well, if they are, they'll have something to say about it, no doubt. But
I'm pretty sure it's a union shop.
I'm just stunned that a document would be presented to employees who are being laid off that basically sign this waiver of your rights and your confidentiality, and then we'll give you severance and benefits. I feel like I gotta be missing something here.
It doesn't seem legal.
Well, it doesn't seem a lot of things, including conscionable. But there were in the shots you gave me of the contract. We're talking a lot of positions, not three or four. There's a lot of these. Yeah. So.
But here's the thing, they didn't even give these people a heads up. The thing ended Thursday, and it's like, you get off the air, and it's, by the way, your job is gone. And Friday morning, the new format kicked. I mean, the new changes kicked in Friday, last Friday.
Yeah. Well, as I say, when they got to the eligibility thing, I've read it a few times, and I'm really not 100% sure what it's saying. So I can't really, I really did. I can't make full heads or tails of this. When they're saying that this includes the employees who were eligible to be included but were not selected for termination. All right. Also included are the employees who are selected for inclusion in the job elimination, meaning who are going to be terminated. All right. So it's basically everybody, I guess. I don't know. All right.
Society, my baby and me, we belong to a mutual admiration society.
I think he's handsome and he's smart.
I think that she's a work of art.
I say that he's the greatest man.
And likewise, I'm her biggest fan. I say her kisses are like wine.
His kiss is just as good as mine.
And that's the way we pass the time of day.
My baby and me, oh, we belong to a mutual admiration society.
I say, oh, you're the sweetest one.
I say, no, you're the sweetest one.
She claims that I'm a natural wit.
He says it's just the opposite.
The only fight that we do is just who loves who more than who. And we go on like that from night to dawn.
My baby and me, oh, we belong to a mutual admiration society.
nothing short of great.
I say that kind of flattery will get you any place with me.
The way we carry on and dance and just embarrass all our friends, and that is how we'll still be years from now.
My baby and me, oh, we belong to a mutual.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There it is, Eddie Arnold and J.P. Morgan, Mutual Admiration Society, 1956 on RCA. And Marty and Whiting last night wanted to hear some J.P. Morgan. I thought of that immediately, but I'll also play one of her solo things. In fact, the year before in 55, she had Danger Heartbreak Ahead. So we'll do that too. But yes, J.P., who was great on TV talk shows. Yeah. All right. She really was. All right. So Nick in Baltimore. All right. Mm-hmm. So I spent all my time there reading more of this contract and thinking about this. And, you know, firstly, if they're non-union positions, they don't have to pay them any severance unless they have a written agreement to do so. But if they're over a certain age, there's something called the WARN Act, W-A-R-N, and it has to do with worker adjustment and retraining. Mm. And that's where usually it's mass layoffs greater than what this is, but even so, where they have to give you 60 days advance notice. Now, you supposedly have to work it, but they'd have to give it to you. So I'm pretty sure that the reason you saw the ages of everybody and all that is that their lawyers worked long and hard in how to do this so they wouldn't have any exposure. And so they're showing all the ages to show that they weren't targeting anyone. You know, as far as collective agreements, I think there is some there, but not all by any means. So now, in terms of what can you legally make someone sign, you know, in terms of when does it cross the line? And now you're getting to the National Labor Relations Board. So I tried to see what I could find out quickly on them. And the bottom line is, in general, the NLRB prohibits the requiring signatures of confidentiality or non-disparagement, which is, you know, the hold harmless and all that as well. It can't be overly broad. In other words, it can't be a thing where you can't discuss the terms of your employment with other people and all that. But you absolutely cannot do anything that in any way violates legitimate company secrets. You know, so in other words, you can't get into their marketing or, you know, a lot of their formatics and all that.
Right.
But as far as actually talking about, they treated me like hell. You absolutely can go ahead and do that. Unless, and of course, you're not allowed to say anything that's maliciously false. Well, that's a given. Now, but the big loophole in this, and here's the big loophole, because remember, the NLRB is for employees, but non-supervisory employees, rank and file. So if your title was a manager or a supervisor of anything, they can pretty much, you know, throw you to the wall and have you do other things. So, you know, on something like this, obviously the people who are not protected by, you know, by unions for the most part, yeah, they don't have to give you a dime in severance, not a dime. As far as that goes. Now, what I don't know, what isn't in the document you sent me, is how much of a carrot is this? Obviously, the stick is the agreement, but what's the carrot? How much severance are we talking about? And of course, they also can't, they can't not give you what you've earned, like your earned days off or things like that. You know, your earned sick leave that you didn't take. You know, those things, they got to give you. But so
yeah, I got that from the government, right?
Right. Right, exactly. So you've got to get your final wages, and you've got to get all that accrued benefits like the sick days and all that. But severance is optional. And so I'll tell you what, though. I don't know what's going on here. Obviously, I'm reading it cold from what you you sent me. But all I can say is that, man, this is going to give them one hell of a black eye. I mean, publicity-wise, this is not good. So then you say to yourself, okay, well, what you know, what are they thinking they're gaining? See, I'd like to be a fly in the wall when they discuss this, you know, as far as that goes. And I also don't know what led to this. You know, I have no idea about their financials or anything. I know it's still Hearst, but that's it.
My thought, and I don't, and I could be way off on this, Raleigh. I don't know. they've been trying to sell that place because those are the only two stations they own, radio-wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they wanted a lot of money for the AM and EM. They're not going to get it.
Right. Not certainly not so, for the AM. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. You know, basically get anything
no.
for the AM. No.
And I'm thinking, you know. I don't know because I don't know anything. I don't, you know, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to, you know, I'm curious because the FCC just got rid of those ownership caps for TV. Right?
Yeah.
And they're buying more TV stations. Well, obviously they don't care about the radio. So are they going to throw it away and, you know, sell it to Radio 1 or something like that, get a tax write-off, and then, you know, buy another TV station in the market that's ripe like MAR, which, you know, Scripps is just stripped all their news people out of there, you know, or most of it. So there's a lot of weird things going on.
Well, clearly there are, but again, I would think that you'd have to weigh the PR nightmare this would cause. This is a company that Hearst Corporation is not in financial trouble. They have record revenue and profits. I think they had $13.5 billion in revenue. And that was...
They're buying TV stations.
Yeah, or so, you know... If you are doing that, if you're going to remain in broadcasting, no matter what form it takes, you know, to me, there would have been a better way to handle this. That's just my gut. Now, again, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's behind them. I don't know how they're thinking or why they're thinking. But just on the face of it, when I read this, I'll tell you what, if I was a Hearst employee, I wouldn't sign this and my life depended on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care how much severance they were offering.
Well, let me ask you this. Could it be that they have people sign that so that they would say that they're not going to take legal action or
something?
Well,
that's part of it. It absolutely, that's right in there. It's a hold harmless. They can't take legal action. No, that agreement prohibits legal action. So
I'm just glad I got out of the business when I did.
Yeah, well, any business. Again... You know, very often you'll have overly aggressive legal departments. And several years ago when the newspapers started hiring those attorneys who would file suit if you in any way printed anything that had to do with their publication or whatever, if you remember that. And man, that backfired on them. I mean, the Review Journal and others, they backed away from that so fast to make your head spin. But for a while there, they were going after anybody. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Again, all I'm seeing is what you send me, the Schedule A of the document. But, you know, I can say proof positive I'd never sign it. But for somebody else, they may not care.
You know, like I said, I found that online. And
yeah.
I found the documents online. But then the articles were sent to me by a friend of mine up in Pittsburgh. And because you know Mike Lance. You've talked to Mike Lance.
Yeah.
In Miami.
Sure.
Hey, did you hear about BAL? I said, no. And then he started telling me, well, they're cutting, you know, they're firing a whole bunch of people. I said, well, and I didn't think anything of it at the time because, and that was Thursday night he called me. I didn't think anything of it because I said, well, you know, they're probably cutting back. They're probably... You know, this is common in the business. A lot of companies are doing this. But then when I got these articles sent to me, it was like, oh my God, it's really, you know, this is big.
The you know, as I say, I just find it, I'm speechless the way it's worded. And it's early. I don't think there's any big backlash as far as that goes. But in terms of what you said, it absolutely, the heart of this agreement is that the employees have absolutely no way to bring suit or anything else for any reason whatsoever. It's a very broad agreement in that sense. There's just flat out none. It says it right in it. A general release of claims agreement. Well, so
yeah.
What basically says, I sign this, you'll give me a little bit of money, and I can't talk bad about you. Well,
it's really strange.
Well,
I mean, a lot of things are going on, and I just see more of this happening. It's just really sad. I and last night KXNT went off. And
well,
I heard that.
We knew that was coming.
It was. Yeah, you guys were you had a caller that were talking about it.
Yeah.
And, it's online. It's online. I mean, I stayed up and I heard it.
Oh, of course. And and I understand that from a business sense, from the standpoint of that. And they were originally KBEG when they got that in 86. They got that frequency, and there was so much hope in all that, and the breakup of the clears and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Alan Stock is on another station in town now, so that's good. He's a morning guy, long-term guy there in the market. It is sad. But from a business sense, I get it. But from a well-heeled company, I don't know. If it were me, I would just think there was another way to handle this.
I agree with you. I really do. The other thing I wanted to mention is the death of our friend Ron Parker.
Oh, yes. Yes. When it's no longer darker, it's time for Ron Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that line. I thought that was always very clever.
I never met him, but we talked on Facebook.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, no, that's been
friends of mine know him, and it was just I didn't know that he was ill.
Yeah. It's the last year, I think, have been kind of tough, but it was quiet. But yeah, he was around for years. He was at Quixie, in Atlanta. And
he worked here briefly.
Yeah, right. Well, LSFM too, LCY. Yeah. A lot of the, Miami stuff and Tampa stuff. And then he was in Phoenix for a while. And SMN, when SMN was doing that, John's company, forget his last name now, but John Tyler. SMN. He was on the Hot AC network. And all that. And then, of course, Sirius. He was there for like 18 years. So. Yeah, so he. It didn't matter whether it was Atlanta or Miami or Tampa or Houston or San Francisco, New York, Chicago, you name it. And so, sad. But hey.
Well, he was at B104 here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Briefly, so.
And this is one of those things where virtually everything I've read has been, people commenting about who had worked with him, how much they liked working with him. Obviously, his talent was undeniable, but they enjoyed him as a person as well. So
it's very sad, we're losing all these people.
Yeah, and he's young. He was only like 71.
Yeah.
So,
Scary because I'll be 70 in
You think you're scared? Oh my God! Well, yeah, but you never know. You just absolutely never know.
We all have an expiration date. I just don't want to know it until it happens.
Yeah, yep. And you want to be taken by total surprise, having it be an otherwise perfectly good day.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
But anyway, I didn't want to end on that. But anyway, we really do appreciate the show and your efforts and the callers. And that CC Wi-Fi 3 is a fantastic radio.
Oh, yeah.
And
it,
the audio
it really is
excellent.
Yeah, it is really nice. And like I say, so easy to use, which makes a difference for a lot of people.
That outboard antenna.
Yeah.
And that 5-volt, it's a USB. Plug on it. But it's a great set.
Yeah. All right.
All right, you take care, and thank you for your time.
Good deal. Good to talk to you always. And thanks for the information. I'd be very interesting to know what the fallout is on this, because I feel there will be some.
If there's a follow-up, I'll send that to you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. To me, it's from the what were they thinking, category. I don't understand. And I just feel there was an overly aggressive legal department there. So we'll see how that goes for them. And, of course, everybody who's involved in that, I wish them all the best. That's tough. But, given if this is the way management is treating you, you're better off gone. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Oh, we've got Cindy in Chicago, Eduardo in Tampa, Victor in Silver Spring, Chuck in Rockford, and hopefully some time for... Yeah, we got a lot of time, actually. I just realized this. I got an hour and 10 minutes, so we'll definitely get through all that, and hopefully your call as well on WGN Radio.
Danger. Not wise, not wise to love so completely, or fall for that look in his eyes. Danger, heartbreak ahead, be sure, little heart, for you know, yes, you know what happened to you before. There's danger, travel slow. Does his kiss really mean what you think it means? Are the words that he whispers true? Are you sure you understand the touch of his hand? Does his touch mean to to you? Maybe I could be wrong, but go slow, little fool, for it's said that love either finds you or love either binds you to the danger of a heartbreak ahead.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1955, J.P. Morgan, there she is, Danger, Heartbreak Ahead. And that was one of the requests I was going to get to tonight, and I'll try to get to more of them as well. And but I think I've since lost them. Oh, that's just great. Well, the news will give me time to find them again, I hope. In the meantime, let's see, what does Eduardo have to say for his bad self tonight? All right, Eduardo.
Yeah, Raleigh, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, I thought I found a shirt that I think you and John will like. It's from a brilliant company called Simon Worker. It's $75.
Huh.
It's a digital camouflage shirt. It looks like a Hawaiian shirt. And anytime the camera would zoom in, it would kind of like ignore your photo. It would put a box on, you know how those...
Oh, interesting, interesting. All right, so a digital defense shirt.
Yeah. They also do Bluetooth jammers, too. That's what it says, but...
Oh, interesting. Well, man, $75 for a shirt. Never done that. But not about to, I don't think, but I guess if it could do all those wonderful things, maybe I'd reconsider it.
Yeah, anybody going to China, maybe. I guess Berlin also has some kind of surveillance. If you're walking with any of those, they cannot see you. Or what about the flock cameras?
Yeah, no.
You know, they're getting rid of some of those flock cameras, too. I wonder if it'll, like, if you're, like, walking, if it'll kind of, like, avoid, you know, recording that, because it's kind of like an invisible... camouflage.
This is interesting. I'm thinking about these shirts and how I guess it's like wearing a Faraday cage. I mean, that I guess they mm-hmm. weave it with conductive metals, copper, nickel, whatever, and you know, it's a wearable Faraday cage that must feel really good on, which would prevent external Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or all that from reaching the devices inside your pockets. But the fact that it would go ahead and blur you, that's a new deal. I got to look at this. It's interesting. I wonder how well it works.
Yeah, I mean, if I go to Shanghai or something like that, I mean, I'm going to wear that.
Right. Yeah, right. Are you planning to go to Shanghai? Not that it would surprise me.
No,
you seem to go everywhere. All right.
No.
Hang on a minute. Stay where you are.
Okay.
Don't go away. We'll pick it up after the news on WGN Radio.
Well, I'm sitting here one fast sparkle in my clothes. Yeah, I'm dog come. When the big dog gets here, show him what this little puppy done. Well, I say, hey, hold my clothes. Yeah, said another woman with a matchbox, hold my clothes.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Carl Perkins, 1956, Matchbox, Sun Records. Billy Bob and Bourbon A wanted to hear that. And we're back to Eduardo in Tampa. His camouflage shirt. I can't imagine what that would do to you while you're wearing this, if it's blurring your face and things of that nature.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I knew I was going to China or some high surveillance area like Russia, yeah, I definitely would wear that.
Okay. But you're not making any visits imminently.
No.
Okay. So what else is going on?
No. I was going to ask you before you go, because I was thinking about this. So I got that one of the people that got a ticket here in Tampa for a concert for Barry Manilow.
Okay.
And he's been having health problems with, I guess, stroke cancer.
Yeah.
So what happens how long can he prolong that?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, as far as
how long can you reschedule a concert? Well, I guess you reschedule you can probably do it indefinitely. At what point will the fans say, just give me my money back?
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't think there's any, like, rule of thumb on this as much as I'm sure the fans probably who really want to see him will, you know, be fine with that. But if it's going on over a year, how long has it been?
I was supposed to go last year, and now it's set up for, the new date is January of next year at Benchmark.
Okay. Well, interestingly, I think next month he was supposed to be at the Westgate. He had a residency there, so he's paused that as well. And so, okay. You know, obviously, you're dealing, he had lung cancer surgery. So obviously there's lung strength involved in that, vocal strain and all of that. So it's probably really a question of his health in terms of that completely, and how long will it take to recover. But in terms of how often and how long can he do it, well, I guess until the fans no longer put up with it, or the venues.
Okay.
You know, and so I don't know. I'm reading online about people, you know, who had tickets for October and things like that. And you know, one of the things is they don't know when it will be rescheduled at this point. So, you know, who knows? I think there's also been issues. There was something at the beginning of last month where he canceled a concert like 45 minutes before it was going to start. And that was a Kentucky thing in Lexington. And, you know, I think that's a bad idea, actually, as far as that goes. I certainly understand, you know, you've been diagnosed with early stage lung cancer. You have you've had surgery. Obviously, that's going to affect your ability to sing. It would seem to me that you would. You know, if it were me, I think I'd just cancel the concerts and say, we'll let you know when we're going to reschedule, rather than just leave, you know, people hanging. But 45 minutes, that is not good.
No, it's not.
So, and there's probably some denial. I'm sure he didn't do it voluntarily. I mean, I'm sure he went to Lexington expecting that he was going to be performing. And from what I understand, a doctor before the show said, don't do it. And so that was it. So there's probably a certain amount of denial in that. And hopefully he'll get back to it.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be better, and then he'll be able to sing. Yeah,
yeah,
people
yeah.
can enjoy the music.
Right, if that's the case, and you kind of hope it will be. So I would hope he wouldn't schedule anything until he knows.
Yeah.
You know, because to an extent, Dolly had that too, you know, where she had canceled shows and then had rescheduled them for May. And then when she couldn't make the May dates, that's when they decided that, no, there wouldn't be a rescheduling after that.
Right.
So, You know, hey, I feel sorry for him. But again, looking at it from a marketing perspective, 45 minutes before the show, this is not okay.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Raleigh, you're on the final hour here. I'll call back later this week if I got something good to call in.
Okay, good deal. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think the Lexington was toward the end of several dates where he had been kind of pushing it. And there again, you know, I think the people around him probably could have maybe done a better job to tell him, hey, no, you slow down until you know for sure. And, you know, I don't know that you ever know for sure. And by the way, this was supposed to be a farewell tour as far as that goes. But how that's going to go, hard to say. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Victor is in Silver Spring. How are you tonight, Victor? Still with us, Victor? Oh, we lost Victor. Well, hopefully he'll call back tomorrow night. And we'll see if Chuck in Rockford is still with us. You still with us, Chuck?
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Well, 91.
All right. Sounds good to me.
And, of course, it's getting lonesome.
Yes, it is.
And, just a lot of people that I knew, and a lot of them that I didn't know.
Yeah.
When I find out later what happened to them,
yeah,
they were, you know, just in chronic what was going on, you know, because they were going through dementia.
That is so frightening, absolutely frightening. And we are hearing about it more and more. Now, you might say part of it is because we're living longer, but I think it's more than that. And I don't know what the what the deal is.
There's so much that I lost two sisters in 22, and one of them had input into the Hubble telescope during her years, and when she retired, she owned a music store that rented instruments, and she had over $1 million in inventory.
Wow. Yeah, you told me about her. She had an amazing career. Now, in the end, she did not have dementia, did she?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, I didn't
think
so.
She had cancer.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've lost 5 siblings, you know, that all to cancer. And I had a little brother that was 20 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And he had a 90% curable cancer, but the cure killed him. They irradiated his carotid artery, and he bled out before he could get the attention, and was brain dead, you know, by the time they got where they could do anything for him.
No, it's so sad. I wish that was an isolated example. I had a very good friend who developed, I guess it was non-Hodgkin's leukemia or something, but anyway, he was young, very, very young, in his 20s, and he should have been fine, but they over-radiated him something like 73,000%. I mean, it was some kind of number that was just off the charts, and, you know, he was fine for another 10 years, and then he started dying from burning on the inside out. Literally, one at a time.
Yes.
You know, burned his vocal cords, burned organs. I mean, it was the saddest thing to witness, because it clearly was 100% because of this. And, of course, there was a settlement with the hospital, but, you know, dead is dead.
Well, you know, a lot of this stuff is digital. He doesn't know what he's doing with it.
Well, now.
You can miss a decimal point, and
That's like now, but my buddy, that was like 1962, so it wasn't digital then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and now they've got, I've had quite a bit problem with skin cancer, you know, over the years, and it was too much sun exposure.
Sure.
You know, when I was younger.
Sure.
And God, I didn't know any better.
Nobody did. Absolutely nobody did. We thought it was healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, back then, sitting in the sun was supposed to be good for your health. It's hard to believe, but that's what they were pushing.
Yeah. Well, and I can attribute some of my survival to just the fact that I had a lot of things done at Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
And that was sort of accidental. It was prior to retirement age. And I thought, well, gosh, if I go on Medicare, there's probably a lot of stuff I won't be able to get taken care of. And my daughter was in there getting some things taken care of, and I presented that to one of the doctors there, and he went and gave me a complete overhaul prior to retirement.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but...
And I didn't know there was any such thing as a laser TURP. And that probably is one thing that saved me on the prostate, because I had a brother that was 2 years younger than me that died of prostate cancer. Mm-mm. You know, and... I'm fortunate, I guess, that that was one of the things that all my tests come in good. And of course, the cholesterol thing, I've always been lucky there. I know one time they took a test on me and they come in like 140, and they thought maybe their equipment was not reading right, and they took it again. I just happen to be fortunate in that department that it's not one of my things, you know. Just I guess I was raised in World War II, you know, and we didn't have a lot of things that people take for granted. I know I didn't have a cavity until I was in high school and started eating junk food.
Yeah, even then, it can be genetics, you know. That's one's well known, especially for whatever reason. British and Irish background, man, you got weak teeth. It's just the way it is, where, you know, you're from some other countries and you've got the, you know, the teeth of a mule. So it varies.
I had a great aunt that lived to be 105, and she... one of her things was that she had oil royalties from Kerr McGee.
Mm.
And this was before, you know, Social Security and all that. And through the Depression years, she was actually doling money out, you know, to her family members that weren't so fortunate, you know, through...
Nice.
Through that period.
Nice.
And it's hard to imagine a lot of that stuff, you know, that during World War II, when the war first broke out, my dad was only making $20 a week and raising a family on that kind of money.
Well, of course. No, but, you know, that's the really frightening thing, because, of course, you look at the increases over the years, and first it was arithmetic. Well, now we're up to the point where the multiple is almost exponential. You know, when we talked about a stamp doubling in value over a few years, going from 4 to 8 cents, that's one thing. But when a stamp is 70, when a stamp is 77 cents, when it doubles in value, now it's in the $1.50 range. This is $1.54. This is we're at the point now where the doubling of it is huge, and I don't know the answer. It's a greater mind than mine, but then
I've got one little sister that's 17 years younger than me, and then my sister that was a airline stewardess.
Mm-hmm.
She's 6 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And she had quite a career. She actually gave my dad a one of those pens that they signed the bills with, you know, because she met most of the presidents.
Right.
When she was with Eastern Airlines, she was in management for a period of time, and she was able to write passes for my parents to go all over, the North and South America, mm-hmm. and even to Europe, you know, on, like they had money to burn, you know, on aircraft or airplane tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
But two of my sisters helped my mother get to the 97 and a half, you know, mark, and she was at home until she was 96.
Well, you've got some good genes there. We expect to hear from you for several years to come.
Well, I hope so.
All right.
How long has it been since I saw you in Rockford?
Oh, 34 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, time flies.
It does,
huh?
Doesn't it, though? Yeah, I think about that all the time, and the older we get, the faster it goes.
Oh, and you know, I kind of noticed that these radio stations are having a tough time, and it's hard to explain, you know. But well, you can almost tell it.
Well, they come and they go. Like anything else, they come and they go. We like to think that it would be around forever, but as times change, the delivery method changes as well. But what doesn't change is entertainment value, and you can find that somewhere. So audio is still as strong as ever, just not delivered in the same ways.
Well, I really enjoy hearing from you, on the radio here, and I've recognized you over the years.
Sure.
How much time did you spend in Denver?
Three lousy years.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was, Stapleton Airport? Were they operating?
Yes, we were still at Stapleton. Federico Pena was the mayor, and we knew that he was planning a DIA. I always kind of laughed about that because this was a city that returned the federal funds because they didn't want to uproot trees and build a loop around the city. Well, okay, so no federal funds. Instead of I-470, it was a C-470, and they had a toll. Or his other brilliant thing was he built the convention center. It sat 50,000, it parked 500. And I never was at a loss for something to talk about. That was for certain, but it would make your head spin. Yeah, I remember when he came up with one of these ideas. I had a T-shirt printed up, Pena's Last Great Erection, and a picture of the convention center. But anyway, yes. So what can I tell you? I survived Denver.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do. You've been a lot of places. And
32 American cities.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I kind of want to get back to Miami before it's all over with here.
Oh, you think it isn't? All right. Well, I'll tell you what is over. The news is next, but call me next time. We'll talk about Miami. It's gone. All right. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
All
Take
right.
Care.
Good deal. And we'll pick it up right after the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Well, Billy Bob wanted to hear that one as well. The Joe Jeffrey Group, My Pledge of Love. And he was a Cleveland boy all through and through. And in fact, tried for other hits after that, which he wrote, by the way. He wrote My Pledge of Love, but it got, like in the top 20 nationally. And actually, interestingly enough, it was a hit, of course, in his hometown, Cleveland. But before it took off nationally, it was a hit in Vancouver. Yeah, CKLG played it. But it became a big hit worldwide, actually, Brazil, the Philippines, you name it. So since he wrote it, yeah, that was pretty good. Unfortunately, it was the only thing that he did that charted nationally. They did My Baby Loves Lovin' right at the same time that White Plains did it. And you'll remember the White Plains version, and you probably won't remember the Joe Jeffries version. But if you saw him in one of the local haunts in Cleveland, you probably would have heard it. He was sort of in residence. In the Woods was a place, and it was an interesting club. It was off of Miles Road, and Miles Road literally was in the woods at that point. And so he was there for years, and you'd hear My Pledge of Love, My Baby Loves Lovin', and all that. And yeah, sadly, it'd been, almost exactly 10 years ago this week, September 4th, 2016, died 80 years old. Yeah, so rest in peace. Joe Jeffrey, whose original name, born name was Joe Stafford, but obviously since there was a female singer of the same name, yeah, right, he thought, well, this is my first and middle name, Joe Jeffrey. All right, so there you have it. But Joseph Stafford Jr. in Cleveland. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Cindy is in Chicago. What's happening tonight, Cindy? Cindy, wake up.
Oh, I almost fell asleep.
I can tell.
I just almost fell asleep and then I heard you say Cindy. Yeah, I watched the U.S. Open, one of the women's tournaments, and I guess the final will be next Sunday or Saturday, I don't remember. Yeah. I hadn't watched it in so many years. The last time I think I watched it was when Pete Sampras won the last time before he ended up retiring.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was the weekend Princess Diana. I mean, that was on TV just that her anniversary is coming up of her, the September,
yes.
That was when she
yes.
had come. Yeah. So. And that was about it. I don't know, I was just so busy with so many different things and going through different health things and just watching people exert themselves. Now it was fine. It's just like I watch it for a few minutes and roll my eyes and like, that's too exerted.
Well, yeah. Yeah, for most of us, it would be. But these championships started, like August 23rd. They go on through September 13th. So this is not just a 1 or 2 day event.
Right. So I guess the final of it is on Labor Day.
Well, there's stuff after that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But then, the other thing, I was just scrolling through on my tablet, the previews of what you could Google, and it said that a lot of people, because of the food recalls, and I kind of am the same way with General Mills after they had their Cheerios recall.
What's wrong with Cheerios?
Oh, you don't remember where they had the rat feed?
Oh, I thought you meant recently.
No.
Okay.
I still won't even buy a brand. They said people won't buy the brands that there were food recalls in. I mean, I still would buy popsicles and all that, but the Cheerios, that kind of, I don't know. But I don't buy blueberries, strawberries, so this all works its way out. A lot of people are not.
You're gonna get to the point where you don't eat.
Yeah. I? Yeah, but, I mean, that's how it works. It's way, you know, like when I make a, you know, I don't make strawberry shortcakes right now. I just make a shortcake and put canned peaches.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, but
by the way, I'm sure sooner or later there will be a recall on canned peaches.
Yeah, there was a recall on fruit cocktail.
All right.
In the can last. Sometime early this summer. I don't know. Allergies.
Well, and sometimes these recalls are not necessarily because there's anything particularly wrong with the food, mislabeling, like the Honey Nut Cheerios that were recalled because they were labeled gluten-free when they weren't.
Right.
You know, so
but I know the Cheerios did here. I mean, it's just well, and, had eaten. Like,
yeah, the I believe at the time, and this is like last year or something, but rodent and bird waste. And I kind of wondered. Well, here's what I wanted to know, and it was one of their factories, not them particularly. It was somewhere in the distribution chain. But what is your factory about? If you even have the possibility of bird waste, are you doing it outside? I don't know.
Well, sometimes birds get, you know, like when they open the door, because I've worked, you know, for a lot of manufacturing as an accountant when I was a temporary consultant. Sometimes when the truck door opens, birds fly in, and then they are just in the warehouse or in the, they're just in there, and they try and get out through the, they keep ramming themselves up against the skylight trying to get out, and...
Huh.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know, just the Cheerios thing kind of, I don't know, that kind of, I mean, and it's not even in my state. But then that one, I had one marketing class, and it's just like the idea of marketing, like, would you buy, what was it? Campbell's ketchup? I mean, or what was it? What did they? I can't remember.
Yeah, you're talking about line extension, and that's brought up a lot in marketing, where if a company's making a shampoo, can they line extend it to make detergent or something? You know? Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah. Oh, you don't sound good at all.
It's just the allergies. If I don't take my, you know, it's just so bad here. And I haven't been out all day because it was just too hot to go out.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was the other thing I remembered because it's so hot. You know, it just triggered something.
Uh-huh.
It's hot where you are. But they had a lot of rainstorms out southwest.
Okay.
So you got a lot of rain that you needed.
There's a lot of rain, and people died in the Grand Canyon.
I know, but that's the thing. It's like, you know, then, you know, there's, like, always, like, torrential rain when it rains, and then people die.
Well, that's like, what we get, monsoons. That's what we get. That's the way it works.
Okay, well, do you have enough water now?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. This won't even make a dent. I wish it would, but it won't. Nope.
Wow.
Yep. Yep, and you know, more on the way this weekend, so it's but hey, it's the desert. This is what the desert does. So there you have it. All right, well, take care of yourself, and don't spend a lot of time hearing about recalls, because I really am concerned you're going to stop eating. All right, thanks, Cindy, appreciate it. Yeah, because she's going to run out of stuff, I can tell. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, Bev in Arlington Heights sent me an email, and I saved it for late in the show, because usually that's when we'd hear from Tubby, is late in the show. We have not heard from Tubby in at least a month. So, Tubby, I hope you are well and otherwise too busy to be calling this radio show, because we'd hate to think that you weren't with us anymore. So, when you find the time, we'd appreciate a phone call. Yeah, because Tubby is one of our beloved callers, and you don't like them just dropping off the radar like that. So, glad Bev reminded me to say that. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if you want the last word, you're about to get it on WGN Radio.
sign said, tell me, baby, what is wrong with you? Come on and tell me, baby, what is wrong with you? You're taking all of my money and you won't swallow it too. So, baby, you look so sweet to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Five Echoes, 1954 on VJ. And that was Stan's request from Dearborn, one of them. And that made me think about the history of VJ, what happened. We all know about the bankruptcy and what went wrong. But since I now have decided I'm going to trace the trajectory of every one of these labels to find out what was the disposition. Yeah, like I don't have enough things to do, right? I'm adding this to the list, but I am because it's interesting to me. All right. So, of course, you know, when VJ finally went belly up, obviously, they didn't have any Beatles masters because, you know, that belonged to EMI and, you know, that whole story. The other thing is they didn't have any Four Seasons masters because Frankie Valli sued them for royalties. And the upshot of that was they got their masters back. So Randy Wood, not the guy from Dot, but the guy from VJ and Betty Giappetta, bought the remaining assets in 1967, which was like 5,000 masters. And a lot of it had not been released. And it was a bankruptcy auction. And that's when they renamed it VJ International. And what they were doing was basically licensing back inventory as far as that goes. But then in 1990, that's when Pritzker, yeah, the Hyatt and Governor family, right, all that stuff. Daniel Pritzker, actually, who was not only a billionaire heir to the Hyatt Hotels, but also a musician himself. He bought it. And that's when things like the VJ story, which is a wonderful box set, and hopefully you have it, and that kind of stuff. They licensed things to everybody, like Collectibles, Jerry Green's company, and all that. And then 2014, Concord bought it, Concord Music. They got the entire catalog. And so that's, you know, over 5,000 masters. And they are able to license it for films or television or whatever, or reissuing the product as well. So it turns out VJ did not go to one of the big three. So that was the end of that. Yeah, plan to do this for every label so that we know, because I'm curious. You know, because we all know, for instance, like George Goldner, who was just terrific. He had the ears of a 14-year-old girl. It was just wonderful. He could sniff hits. It was just great. Unfortunately, his gambling debts always put him behind the eight ball big time. And so Moish Levy always, you know, bailed him out. And next thing you know, the masters went to roulette. But obviously they didn't stay there. Yeah, because that's past tense. So we'll have to find out where Gone and End and Rama and G and all that. Well, I'm curious. Yeah, I know. It's like I have so many things I need to do. And now I'm going to be doing this. Yeah, because it's interesting. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And trying to see if there's anything I need to tell you here in the waning moments of the show, other than, of course, 3 big hours tomorrow night and Thursday night, because we are live both nights, no interruptions, although I need to send an email to WGN to find out. I have a feeling, just sniffing it out, that we're probably going to be getting back into a little bit of sports interruptions here soon. Yeah, 'tis the season, since now it is officially September. And officially was Archie Bell's birthday. And I did, by the way, I promised that I would put his address on my website. And he's been in a nursing home since a stroke in 2021. Affected the right side of his body. Fortunately for Archie, he's left-handed. And every now and then I'll see him making a little video that, well, he doesn't make it, obviously, but he's in it, that he'll put up on Facebook or something like that. But he is still fighting the good fight and certainly not living independently, unfortunately. So, yeah, 82, though. Yeah. 82 today. And Gloria Estefan, 69. Wow, how we're aging. Doesn't even seem possible. Born in Havana in 1957. Yeah, right before the Revolucion. And she's absolutely still around and still happily married. The day after her birthday in 1978, when she was 21 years old, she got married. And now, just celebrated the 48th wedding anniversary, her first and only boyfriend. Isn't that nice? All right, so let's see. What about him? Well, Phil Hendry. All right, happy birthday, Phil. 74 right now. I don't know what the deal is there, but hopefully Phil is doing well and still with us. Conway Twitty would have been 93 today and sadly died in 1993. That's hard to believe that that's 33 years ago right now. He was only 59 years old, though. So other than that, I don't know. It's fairly slow. Oh, I should look at the moon calendar here. See when our next new moon and full moon and that kind of. I came across that while I was looking for something completely else, and I put it in that special place, meaning I'll never see it again. Yeah, it's gonna be like that, I'm sure. Yeah, well, it was a nice moon calendar, really. Oh well. Yeah, may it rest in peace. It'll show up when I'm looking for something completely else. So but I guess the bottom line is the show's over. So that's it. We're out of time. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, John. Thanks to you. 21 hours from now, we reconvene. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Machete Metro Mayhem plus bacterial birthday bash and plate peeping policeman. I'm Grant Marshall. 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Slasher Suit Showdown, Manhattan's machete-wielding Metro Madman sparked Midtown mayhem, slicing and slashing three strap hangers at Grand Central last April. Now two elderly victims blame the Big Apple for platform protection problems, planning to sue the city over the bloody underground bedlam. Police pounced and busted the blade-brandishing suspect. Next stop for this subway saga, Lawsuit Junction. Stand clear of the closing wallets. Veterans Bacteria Battle. A once notorious New York sex spa became bacterial bedlam for a 62-year-old Navy veteran celebrating her birthday. She claims a Queens bathhouse's robes, rooms, and recreational waters weren't properly scrubbed, sterilized, or sanitized, and days later, her leg was burning, ballooning, and battling cellulitis. Now she's suing for damages. The spa hasn't responded, but nothing says relaxation like leaving with a lawsuit and a prescription of antibiotics. Flock cop flop. A Florida cop's accused of turning police protection into personal peeping, allegedly punching his estranged wife's license plate number into Flock surveillance cameras 717 freaking times. Investigators say the lawman launched the license plate lookups both on and off duty despite no criminal case involving her. Now he's arrested on misconduct and computer charges. 717 searches? At that point, just by binoculars? And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.